Hello and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Fellas, the ultimate Formula One podcast for fans by the fans. In today's episode, we'll be discussing the 2024 China Grand Prix, as well as the sprint race. Remember to like, share, and subscribe to The Fellas, and don't forget to ring the notification bell to stay up to date with all things The Fellas. Today, we have Ralph and Ray, and I'm Simon. And today we're going to start off with the sprint race. Guys, what do you guys think about this sprint race this weekend?
It was good, even though it doesn't carry as much weight, right, as it did before. But I think it was interesting. It's good to see some of the cars that are languishing in the back kind of, come to the front because of the wet weather, right? Wet weather was the neutralizer of the playing field in a way, right? Because that's what pulled Lewis to the top. Right out to the position where he was because of the rain, so it kind of leveled it to some extent of as opposed to in the dry when people are running at their regular setup. So yeah, it was good. It was entertaining. Again, goes back to what I said. I think everybody's aware of that Red Bull car is If I was a conspiracist, I'd say, something's illegal with that car, right? Because the way the dude just came through, and it's just like, he just opened up the gap, right? Because, Lewis was out there, he started back in the field, same thing with Checo, right? And, we had some, people putting up some defenses, trying to keep some ground while we're going. But once he got by and, made it towards, Lewis and then passed him, dude, he just like walked away from him. I don't know what type of juice they got in that bad boy, but all the other guys are missing that juice big time because he just walked. He was just gone. The only thing that kind of kills the conspiracy in a way, I guess, is that Checo is still not consistently, in the two spot, in my opinion, right? And because of that, he gets raced harder than Max does, my opinion again, right? So that's the only thing that kind of kills it. And then it puts, as I said, it puts into question, how come Checo's skill can't rise to do what Max is doing? And that's kind of what, that's my overall takeaway from that. But the other, from that portion of the race, what do you think?
The only thing I just want to say real quick, when you say why Checo's skill can't rise, that's what separates a world champion from everybody else. That's why Bottas couldn't really challenge Lewis when he was there. They had the same equipment, it's skill or knowledge or execution, that differentiates them after a while. Michael and Rubens Barrichello back in the day. Alonso, sad I don't remember what his number two teammates were, but partly because Alonso was just that good, compared to them in the same equipment. So Checo is showing you, I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but to show you what an average driver it could do in that car, which is the difference between the world champion is an exceptional driver, in that they can execute consistently lap after lap, race after race, week after week or whatever. So I think that's the difference you're seeing. That's all.
Yeah. And the operative word there is average, because we all know that he's exceptional, but compared to Verstappen.
Right. In their realm.
Average. Right. And so I thought the sprint race was the race, in my opinion. I thought it was the race of the weekend, only because it had a lot of excitement. Even at the end of the race, you had Checo, you had Sace, you had Leclerc, and Norris all racing at the end. Not Norris, Checo, Perez, Leclerc, and Sace all racing on those final two laps, trying to get second place, right? And then Checo got it and won second place. But that to me was an excitement for three laps, right? Three laps of great, great maneuvering, great racing, giving each other room around the corners and really showing us the skill that they have and they possess with those cars. So to me, it was exciting there. Also, to see Lewis up in the front again was exciting, and maintaining second and first, even with, to me, with a slow car. So it has some excitement to it. The rain for qualifying for that race brought some elements, as you stated, Ray, that it really neutralized the race in themselves, the racers themselves, and really put everybody on a level playing field, which made it exciting. I had no idea who was going to qualify where. And when Lewis was qualified second against Norris, that was something to see. And then also how Lewis took the Lewis and Norris took the first corner, and Lewis was able to, I don't want to say push him out, push Norris out.
No, man, remember, the driver that has the inside line and that's ahead owns the corner, right?
Well,
that,
yeah.
And per Randy Popes.
Yeah, and you could see Lewis lose it a little bit and had to straighten it up. So you could tell he wasn't trying to. He was just trying to hold the corner and making sure that he could use all the track to get out of that and whiplash around the corner there. So the sprint race to me was very exciting. I just knew Verstappen was going to eventually come from behind and pass everyone, which he did. And then he just blew by everyone. He had 11-second lead on everyone after, what, 5 or 6 laps. It's just that car is something else. And him as a driver is something else right now, too. I think I heard Nico say during his commentary today that he's a top five, one of the top five best drivers in Formula One right now. Mm-hmm. And he's working his way up slowly but surely with another championship. Mm-hmm. Right. So sprint race to me was good. Showed some little excitement, got my motors and blood running again. And I definitely was waiting for the qualifying and the overall general race after that. So,
yeah, it's good. But just to piggyback on it, on a clarification, right? So Checo was third, right? Can't don't leave my man Lewis out.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. It's just a misspeak, but yeah. So yeah, it was third. And, you're right. You know, I agree with you, you know, majority of your statements. Yeah, it was exciting to see. It would have been more exciting, I think, if it was a wet race as a, you know, just like qualifying, because then there would be more of a, again, continued shift, you know, leveling of the playing field. But no, it was exciting to see, because for me at the end, it was to see how long Lewis could stay in front of him. But Lewis made a mess up and locked up the brakes on one of the turns. I forgot which one it was. And that's what brought him right back into, you know, onto his back, you know, to the back to the gearbox. And then it was a wrap after that, you know. But as I said before, though, it was just astonishing to see how he just walked, because he has no, you know, yes, he has clean air. True. Right. Air mm-hmm. working at the best. Right. But to see the power of that engine and, you know, in that car, that's just, yo, just walk away. You know what I'm saying? It's fascinating to see that, you know. So, you know, props again to the Red Bull team, because, you know, they have put together a package that seems that nobody else can put together, right? Because, you know, in sprint race, Ferrari wasn't really there, right? It's, you know, people weren't, you know, my man Sainz wasn't really – I don't know. He was off his game today, you know, for this week. It's Red Bull, I think we've said it before, and then the rest of the field, mm-hmm. and, you know, because mm-hmm. of the car, you know, and you know that's what it was. But it was exciting to watch to see, you know, Lewis back in some, you know, one of the three positions as far as, you know, on the, you know, the lead of the race. So yeah,
I think as you said, it we know it's Red Bull. I think second best is still up in the air. It's being challenged now by McLaren and Ferrari. They're the two working it out, trying to figure who is going to get that spot.
So think about this, right? I know we're going to talk about the actual Grand Prix here in a minute, but think about if Verstappen was, let's just say Verstappen wasn't Verstappen. He was, you know, a car that was in the back and not in the front all the time. Mm-hmm. You really wouldn't know who's going to win this championship this year. It would be wide open, right? Yeah. Because even though Checo or Perez is second place right now, mm-hmm. he's not showing first place winnings every week mm-hmm. like Verstappen, right? Mm-hmm. and it's easy for the teams to pass him and mm-hmm. create complications for him. And that would be a year to remember. In mm-hmm. my mm-hmm. Verstappen is just
mm-hmm. yeah.
Verstappen at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, so. If Max weren't there, it would be interesting from a race point of view to watch the jockeying that's going on for who's going to win, who's coming in second and third, because that's what we're left with now. We know first place is wrapped up unless he has a mechanical failure, right? He hasn't, the driver error hasn't come into it.
Yeah,
we're watching the rest of the pack, you know.
Yeah, 90% of the race, you're watching the rest of the pack. Like you said, you're not even watching Verstappen until the end, until he's winning on the last lap.
Right.
Which is a perfect segue to talk about the qualifying before we get into the race a little bit, right? So the qualifying and Lewis qualifying 18th. I'm wondering if that's the first time he's ever qualified so far back in the.
That's a good question.
Right.
I should look that up.
But him qualifying 18th, really, in my opinion, as a Lewis fan, really not diminished, but really didn't get me excited to watch the Grand Prix anymore. But him working his way from 18th to mm-hmm. 8th mm-hmm. and finishing 9th, mm-hmm. to me, mm-hmm. I thought he would have been the driver of the day. What do you guys think?
Well, I'll say this. It was interesting with Lewis because I remember Lewis when he was they were interviewing him from the sprint. And because if you remember during the sprint, when he got out of his car, he walked and he looked at Verstappen's car. Mm-hmm. Right. And when they interviewed him at the sprint, he said they learned a bit of things that they think they need to apply. And, you know, and Parc Fermé was open so they could make those changes. And he said, well, you know, we're going to go back and make these changes. Before we had to go to the, you know, the premier event. And for him to then end up where he ended up, it to me is just, it's puzzling, right? Because if you pull that data, that telemetry and stuff like that from it was a dry race when they ran, right? So they're going to qualify in a, you know, dry setup. How come they couldn't, you know, yes, it's just puzzling to find out that he is at the back of the field. So I'm wondering now if he's getting substandard treatment because he's moving on, right? So they're just like, whatever you say, bro. And, you know, because you're not going to be here next year. So, we, you know, what do you say, Georgie? Okay, yeah, we'll do what you say, George. You know, so I'm wondering if it's already started. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'll say this. I think – you know, each driver has their pit crew, their mechanics. So, and there is some sharing. There are times when it gets real close where, you know, some drivers don't want to share with their teammate. So they can.
Right.
I think maybe it's just that maybe Lewis decided to try a setup possibly based on that comment. And it went the wrong way. You know, it didn't go in the direction that they thought it would initially, or better yet, it didn't seem to work with the soft tires.
Mm. Yeah.
Because when he went to the hards, that's when he started charging through the field.
Yeah. So he stated after the sprint race that he figured out some things that would probably help him on the corners to be a little faster on the corners, and make some adjustments. I think you're right, Ralph. I think he made some adjustments, mm-hmm. and the soft tires didn't like that adjustment,
mm-hmm.
because when he did get on the hard tires, he was actually doing pretty good and catching the rest of the field.
Yeah.
And I don't think he would have been any better than seventh, to be honest, or eighth, because Piastri had some damage in the back of his car, and that's why he was catching him so easily, but he still couldn't catch him enough. He didn't have enough laps to pass Piastri. I think he needed at least 10. He had 7, and he didn't get below a second more than twice in order to pass Piastri. So, I think you're right. I think he made some adjustments to exit out of the slow corners a little bit better.
Right.
It just didn't work with that tire.
I'm not gonna lean. I know shady stuff. I've heard shady stuff can happen, but I'm not going to think that Mercedes is going to want to do that right now. They, again, they're going for maximum points that they could possibly get for the constructors, because that helps them. So I can't see them knowingly sabotaging one car to that degree, you know, for the driver that's staying. I don't think so.
And Ray, don't forget the big picture.
There's no big picture, man. No money. Yeah, but it's my money from my man Lewis. That's the big picture.
If you notice, there's a lot more Mercedes Benz commercials out with Lewis in it right now. They're going to try to capitalize on as much of Lewis that they can until he leaves.
Yeah.
And him winning, or him in a winning car, brings them more money outside of the racing as well. So
True. So, you know, so based upon what you just said, then I'm thinking then, okay, so what? What could they do? At a slow speed corner, depending on the speed, is more mechanical grip than it would be aerodynamic grip, right? I'm speculating. It's either they turned up the aerodynamic grip, the aerodynamic load so much that it overheated the soft tire, right? Because harder tires is a harder compound, so it takes more energy. It wears less, so there's more energy to make it, you know, wear, right? So is it then that they turned up the downforce on the aero bit so much that it just ate away at the tire, right? Or it threw off, you know, well, you could have thrown off the balance of the car. But it's just
towing camber too, right?
Maybe it's because they haven't been to that track in a while, but you know, they have possibly. I may step back from my first statement then for now. But I'm not all the way back in my seat yet. I'm just squatting right now because I'm ready to pounce in a minute. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, instead of standing up and, you know, puffing the chest, I'll inhale, bring it back down, and say, okay, there might be some possibilities there. But it was just astonishing to see that drop to be the one at the back after, you know, gathering that data and saying, hey, we're going to make those changes. So,
Well, and it also was bad timing through qualifying, right? He should have gotten at least one more lap in, and I think he would have bumped himself up, but he just ran out of time too.
Yeah. So
it happens. And I think I'm not an engineer as far as camber and toe is concerned, but I would think that would be some of the adjustments he's making for the slower corners. And depending on how the red tire handles those camber and toe adjustments, it might have just thrown the whole car off. You never know. But I don't know. That's just me, again, speculating on how adjustments he could have made.
That's why we all speculate, right? Because it's air plus all those geometry changes, right, that you do. And it's just trying to figure out, you know, what would make, you know, from an armchair person, what would the impact the whole thing? You know what I'm saying? And so that's the kind of stuff that, you know, makes you wonder if you had more insight into some of that stuff. For me, it would be more intriguing, right, to see what's up. But, you know, harder tire to me means that it, you know, it's harder rubber, takes less time for it to come up to temperature, right? More time to come up to temperature, right? Because it's hard, so it's harder for the heat to get into it,
right?
So if that was a better tire, then maybe, you know, I could only speculate that maybe it was an aero load on the car that was helping it out. That even though that load existed over the you know, the bigger, faster corners and the stretch that caused the heat to go into the tire, so that when he got to the slow corner, maybe it wasn't behaving the way it should have behaved. So, yeah.
Because the setup is a compromise, right? Ray, you'll be able to tell me. It's a compromise. When you know you're going to use two different compounds, there may be one that is better suited to the car, and you're trying to see if you can get a little bit out of the other, right? Knowing that you're going to dump the one that's not optimal, you know, you want to bring it to that window where, you know, okay, at this point, we're going to carry on with the optimal tire to go. So your setup is going to still always favor the optimal one. And you're trying to maybe dial it to a point where you're not killing the other one too much that you're going to dump.
Right? Yeah, well, it's a compromise because I just realized that, he was doing on the soft tire on full load, right? So the car was heavier. right? So by nature, so if you cranked up the air load a little bit more and then added the weight of the fuel, that might have pushed the tire into, you know, into a compromised range, right? Mm-hmm. So, and typically, yes, you know, they strategize how they do things over the whole race, right? It's always a compromise, right? There's always a compromise, and you decide where you want to set your car, you know, what section of the race, you know, your car is going to come alive and how much you're going to lose on the compromise section. So you're trying to guesstimate what that is, right? So, you know, but it was, it was just, I agree with Simon, it was shocking to me, right? For him to be at the, you know, to be at the tail end there. And
I too was surprised when I saw it. I was like, whoa, he's gone? Q1? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. After winning this, almost winning the sprint race, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Yep. Exactly. If we're moving on to another thing, I think it, for the main race, my takeaway is Alonso. Since I'm an elder statesman myself here, and all the comments that are going on, they would not stop mentioning the man's age.
Yeah.
But dude, he played a role there, you know, big time. He showed that he's good as the, you know, if Aston Martin puts a car under him that's anywhere near as good as a Red Bull, it's on. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's on. He's on fire.
Yeah. Yeah. He showed he's a two-time world champion because those opening laps and how he went at it. I mean, to use the term that some of the commentators say, you know, he had his elbows out, you know, and
And he's Wiley Fox, right?
Yeah,
He knows all the tricks on the table, and he throws them, you know, he throws them out because you can look at his counterpart, Stroll.
Stroll.
Right? Yeah, he's like, you know, nowhere near there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he hit he ran into the back of
Yuki Tsunoda. No, Ricardo.
No, Ricardo. Yeah, he ran into the back of, you know, for him, you know. So it's just, Alonso is one of my big takeaway, not to downplay, you know, Norris, but just to see how they were commenting on his age and just saying that, oh, you know, he's 45, he's the oldest, blah, blah, blah. Dude. The man's got the stuff, you know, he's got the stuff regardless of the age, you know, he's bringing some experience that some of the other guys don't understand either.
Yeah. Well, they don't have that experience yet. I forgot what lap where he went in. I think it was coming up to the last corner and he went off the rear right tire, went off onto the gravel.
Yes. That recovery. You saw his instant.
My God. And I was just like, if he, just like you said, if he ever gets a car capable.
Red Bull.
Oh my gosh.
Put him in a Red Bull right now.
Yeah.
Formula One will be everybody be tuning in.
Yeah. Alonso, he you know, and that's the thing. That's the thing. Just to talk the current world champions on the grid. Max seems very quiet. I don't know how he is. It with the team, but he's quiet and he has his father. They lobby for what he needs. Lewis, we know he can play the mind games as well, and you know he can get aggressive and stuff, you know, behind the scenes and so on. But Alonso seems to be in that regard has a little bit more of an edge. Not to say that he would defeat them. But he like they always say, he plays the political, he can do the political side, and he can back it up on track. You know, it would, bringing him into a team, if there's another strong driver, that's when you know he's going to focus on taking out that person, both on track and behind closed doors, to make sure he's dominant.
You've alluded to that many times.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not I respect his craft. He's very good. He's exceptional.
Yeah, he is. And I like the way, I like what he did the last 10 laps after he went and pitted into the, to put new fresh tires on. I don't know why they put the soft tires on there when he pitted the last time, but he just worked his way within 10 laps past four cars. Mm-hmm. It was piece of cake, you know? And I say to myself all the time, I said, what if Verstappen, Lewis, and Alonso all had the same car? Another great season of F1, because you're not going to know who's going to win the race, right? And you know, Norris is there too. I think he's racing really good this year. I think he's probably going to come in second or third behind Perez and Verstappen. But I really thought Ferrari was going to, you know, do better this year based on their car and their cars last year. And after the first race, I thought Ferrari was going to be challenging Red Bull for second place, or, you know, not necessarily for first place, but for second place. But I don't know. I feel like McLaren is up there right now. But yeah, Alonso is a wily cat, man. He's wise, and his wisdom and his experience, you really can't dismiss. He's always going to be in the top five, in my opinion, this season, unless something silly happens in qualifying.
Yeah. He just needs a good car. He needs a good car and a good team behind that car with him. And he would, what they said, he's 42. So what? You know, he's showing that it can still be done.
Right. So, you know, I don't ever see any gray in his hair, so I don't know if he's 42. He looks like he's But again, Verstappen took the race and went with it, man. He just, you know, other than those two safety cars, he probably would have had a 30-second lead on everybody.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But of the rest, like, looking at it, we know Norris. And I still like Piastri's learning. But looking at Leclerc and Sainz, I'm just curious what happened to Carlos. In this race, like he, you know, that fire he had wasn't there, at least, you know, as far as the result, you know, Leclerc got the better of him this weekend.
Yeah, Carlos didn't look good. What do you think, Ray?
Yeah, I was just, you know, disappointed with my man. I thought he was gonna, you know, pull it off there, but yeah, it's, you know, he was off, and you know what, I'm gonna give him a break. You can't be on fire the whole time because everybody would be afraid of you after that. But so, you know, he is it is only human, and because he's only human, you know, this might have been, you know, a little bit of a off week, but still, his it seems like the car was still not there per se, you know, like what they really needed, right? So you know, I will just, you know, I'll give him a pass because, you know, again, he's the man on fire that he is. He has something to prove big time, right? Because his thing is to make sure that Ferrari realized that you're, you know, I'm going to put a PC this way, you know, that they made a strategic error on their part, getting rid of him. So that's his thing. And at the same time, he's showing, you know, showing the rest of the field that, hey, I got what it takes to, you know, to push and be up there, right? So, you know, he is, I think he's highly motivated, put it that way. I want to, you know, I'm not saying that the other drivers aren't, but I think for him, you know, his motivation is like turned up from where it was because he is, you know, he's doing it for himself. And at the same time, to prove a point, right? It's just like, you know, somebody come and, you know, mess with your, say, oh yeah, you can't do it, blah, blah, blah. You say, okay, I'll show you. What I can and cannot do, right? And that's kind of the mode that he's in, you know, with what's going on. So until Ferrari starts playing the games again with, you know, giving him a lesser car, you know, he's got to make sure that he pushes forward and, you know, and go for and you know, that he can make that impact that he's looking for, right? And, you know, that was the thing. But touching your base on with McLaren, yeah, they're on fire, and Lando is you know, it's still up in the air in my opinion between him and Piastri, right? Because Piastri has showed up that he has the ability to on some weekends to be, you know, in front of Lando, right? So Lando, you know, but Lando is a good driver, not taking it away from him. You know, again, if Ferrari needs a little bit more stuff in their car, right, in order to, I think, to come up to Red Bull pace. I don't know what that is, but they do. I think McLaren, you know, with a Mercedes engine, need a little bit more in their car to get up to that pace also. You know, it is just funny that the factory team is so far off the mark where their customers are outpacing them. You know what I'm saying? Wow. And that's you know, that's my takeaway because, right, you know, it's just, yeah, it's you know, it shows – to me, it speaks volumes, you know, like what happened, man? It's just like, you know, it's like they had a brain drain, right? And now they're suffering the you know, the outcome of that brain drain. and Lewis is not nice with him. You know, he said the car's slow. You know, interview, yeah. He's like, the car is slow. You know what I'm saying? He's not holding back.
I think what you're seeing where, like you said, a customer team is outpacing them, it shows you, again, you know, to build a car, all the moving parts, it's the chassis, you know, it's the mm-hmm. engine, it's the gearbox, you know, it's how the total package utilizes the tires that, you know, that you're going to be given. So what it just shows is that McLaren, who have been struggling for quite some years as well, that's a world championship winning team as well, and they haven't been close in a long time. It shows how, you know, they have to get everything. Now they know that the engine is good, so they're like, okay, we have to work on the aero, we have to work on this. We, you know, Mercedes just went the wrong way with the aero and still haven't found why, you know, they haven't found where they've gone, you know. So that's why when I see that, I'm like, yeah, McLaren did their work. They did a better job on the aero than Mercedes did, and yeah, they're kicking their butt with their engine.
Yeah. So two drivers I want to talk to you guys about. We have Daniel Ricciardo, and we have our friend Alonso's partner there,
Lance Stroll.
I can never remember Lance Stroll's name for some reason, and right after the race, you know, there was videos that went out and commentary that went out that, you know, that team is really fed up with Stroll, and to the point where they want to fire him. Right. I'm interested in your thoughts on how he performed in this race, because I thought he performed below average, in my opinion, especially with Alonso coming in so top, in the top 10. And Ricciardo is another one that's hasn't had a great year. I mean, he's lucky he has a seat this year, because he didn't have one last year. And I would have thought that him not having or taking a sabbatical for 1 year or a gap year last year, that he would have came back with fire. And right. I'm wondering if it's him or if it's the car, right? So those are the two individuals that I would love for us to talk about a little bit, because to me, I think Lance Stroll is in trouble. And I think Daniel Ricciardo is in trouble as well for next year.
I agree. I'll start with Daniel. Yeah, something is definitely different about him. I mean, that's this guy was a charger, man, going in there, upsetting Vettel, pushing Vettel, you know, winning races. He was up at the top, and it's after his stint at McLaren, or during, it started there. He went to McLaren, and he something happened. So, yeah, he's somebody I feel that, yeah, he's in danger, I think, of losing his seat, because you figure what he was with McLaren, then they dropped him. Red Bull picked him back up, helped him out, and then he's here. And this is your time to shine, and he's not. You know, I don't know what it is. So, you know, I do like Daniel. But yeah, I think his days are numbered. Lance, I mean, if it wasn't his father's team, I think he would have been gone a long time ago, you know, because it's not just this race that Alonso has blown him out. He blew him out in all the other ones.
Consistent.
Huh?
He's pretty consistent blowing him out.
Yeah, pretty consistent blowing him out, and has been blowing him out. So, I mean, listen, someone has floated the question that, you know, if his father's doing this for him, but it's clearly showing that maybe this isn't for him, you know? And the question is, if Lance leaves, will his father still be passionate about the team? You know, I know he's a businessman and he's doing the Aston Martin side of it. If he is and he has that hard conversation with his son, yeah, I think it would be better for him to bring somebody. You know who he could bring in if he could get him? Bring in Sainz. Swap Stroll for Sainz.
That's a possibility. Yeah, yeah. That's because I think I saw somebody interviewed Stroll this week, and they asked him that question, like, you know, what's on the horizon type of deal. And, you know, he was trying to be coy about it. And you say, oh, you'll see, you know, what's going on. You know, you'll see it as it unfolds.
Yeah.
And the person's like, hey, could you give a hint? No, he said, no, you'll see. There's some stuff coming. You'll see. So, I agree because, not to mention him, some of the best racing that I saw in that race was him with Magnussen at the back of the field. That's the type of racing they need to bring.
Ricardo or Magnussen?
No. Stroll and Magnussen. They need to bring back. And that would bring Pico. That's the simplistic view of racing where they were exchanging positions. I saw it in one of the highlights. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was.
You're right. It was a good exchange.
Yeah. And it was back and forth. And if we could get some of that, you know, during the race and towards the front, that's where the excitement lives, right? But yeah, that was pretty good. But, you know, I will say this, stepping back a bit, it is very tough. When you don't qualify in the front with an open wheel car on an opening lap, right? Because that's when stuff happens, right? I think they've said it before. The further back you get, you know, if you're below the third row, right, or the third, even the fourth row, but if you're behind that, then things start getting dicey, right? And especially in an open wheel car, things can happen, right? So, you know, it just makes it tougher in the back there. But again, it would be nice to see, again, props to it. It would be nice to see somebody bridge that gap to Red Bull to come up and start, you know, showing us a race. But because you're right, Simon, you know, when the races, Max goes off, okay, everybody forget about Max until the end of the race. They'll come back, but they're watching, you know, the guys that are doing. You know, if Checo's not on form, then they watch 2 to 3, see who's going to be doing that, right? But if he's on form, then they're watching who's going to be taking third place.
Oh.
You know, it is what it is. But, yeah, it's, you know, we'll see what they're going to do.
So far this year, it's only in Australia that Lance finished ahead of Fernando. Lance finished 6th. Fernando finished 8th.
What about last year?
I could look that up, but I'm just saying, you know, when you're saying that, Ray, with the race, the racing, yeah, it's nice from a team point of view. They want that to be done in the points, within the points gap of the field, you know, because you're racing for points. But if you're a back marker racing back there, yes, that's fine, but you're scoring no points. They need points at the end of the day. So that's why I say, for both drivers, for Daniel and Lance, if they're predominantly out of the points compared to their teammate, that's not good, you know? And then those teams are going to would be looking for a driver that's going to bring that second car into the points, you know? And if you're looking at it from that point of view, both of them are in danger.
So can I just say one thing? Okay. So just to put it in context, so when I said the racing in the back, I said from a viewer entertainment perspective.
No, I know.
Right,
I'm not.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I put it in the context.
No,
right?
No, you did.
Because
no,
what you say, okay, because what you say is on point. Yeah, they want the points, yes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Just from a viewer entertainment two guys that were in the back, you know, they put on a style of race that I think would be would draw, you know, a bigger draw more people to it. Right.
True. I was just representing the team side to say
you're right to say that.
Like if you're in the team, you're looking at it like, wait a minute, we need two cars scoring maximum points that we can. You know,
constructors championship.
Yeah. You know, there was a time when there wasn't points for 10th, 9th, and 10th. 8th was it. You know, and then they extended it a little bit to give some more opportunity. You know, right. but if he's not fine, he's not like he's not on the level of Fernando. But come up, Daniel was.
He was in the points today until he got hit.
Yeah, but I'm saying earlier in his career, he was looking like he was going to be world champion material. Like he was strong. You know, he was strong, and I don't know what happened. I don't know. Like I said, with Felipe Massa, I forgot the track where I forgot whose car was in front of him and a small spring broke off and you saw it where it hit him in the helmet and he was knocked him unconscious and he crashed. You could see after that, when Felipe came back, he wasn't the same as he was prior, you know, like, and hey, you could understand that maybe, you know, but we don't know what happened to Daniel. Like,
yeah.
Know? Yeah.
That's a good point. You said something, Ralph, that I thought was interesting is, with Stroll's dad have any interest in the team if Stroll is not there, right? Mm-hmm. Lance is not there. It also could spark the team, and if he brings another driver, that pressure of trying to promote his son and do everything for his son can go away, and maybe he can run the team even better and find the right driver for that team. So it can go both ways, right?
It's possible.
Yeah, and I wonder if they would even consider that, if Lance would even consider going to another team temporarily just to see the differences. Sometimes it's nice to go see that the grass is not green on the other side, or, oh, this is what they're doing different than we're not doing, right?
Right.
You know, because contracts are contracts. It's just it doesn't really matter if your father's team. You want to stay there, but if a contract, if somebody's going to pay you more, I don't know if anyone's going to pay Lance more right now, but you know, it'd be interesting to see if that turns out. But I think he's just struggling with Aston right now.
Yeah. Lance has no other seat on that in that whole race series. Okay, the only seat he has is at Aston Martin. So if he goes from Aston Martin, he's done. There's nobody else going to pick him up. Okay, let me just say it.
I'm trying to look really quick because I believe Lance, when he came, he did race for Williams at one point. Yes, he did. He raced for Williams. And I remember, and again, I can't find it. It was way back. I remember Jacques Villeneuve. They interviewed him, and I believe it was Lance that he wasn't kind in what he said, leading to Williams banning him from their paddock, you know, as a result of it.
And what Lance said?
Jacques said about Lance.
Oh, wow. He
wasn't kind, you know. And you know, I shouldn't really, I'll leave it there. What I'll do maybe for the next one, I'll try to do the research and see if find it. I don't want to speak, but in my memory, I believe, and I do remember Williams then coming out in a statement saying that, you know, he won't be invited back to their paddock. But I believe it was in reference to Lance and his ability compared to another driver that I guess they passed over due to money. And if that is indeed the case, I'm going to look at it next episode. I'll come back with it. But if that is indeed the case, we're seeing it, you know, it's, you know, some of us, we all want to do certain things. We have the skill, but maybe not, you know, for whatever reason. F1 is not easy. Being a teammate to Fernando, it makes him look really bad.
So I want to show you guys something because I thought this was interesting. Getting back to the comment that I said earlier about, you know, if Verstappen was not, you know, just taking away every race right now, just winning every race, it would be, I definitely would be a great series. As you can see, if you take Verstappen out, you have Perez at 85, Charles at 76, Carlos at 69, Norris at 58. I mean, you'd have four drivers right there on any given Sunday, even though that phrase is usually used for NFL, the lead could change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Russell and Piastri is not too far behind. They if they were to win a race, they would be within second, third or fourth. Right. So it's amazing. Oh, man. And if you go down to Fernando Alonso, he's at 31 points where Russell's at 33. Piastri's at 38. The only one right now is just running away with everything is Max. And and he's actually was disqualified or was out of one race. And he's still in the lead by 25 points.
Yeah. He had a DNF.
And if he didn't have that DNF, he'd be up. It'd be 135 versus everybody else. I just think it would be real interesting season. And everybody would be tuning in every weekend Everybody be watching the qualifying, everybody be watching the practices, because you really don't know who's going to win. And you're looking for that edge, or, you know, that that opportunity to say that your driver is going to win.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I think going back on what you guys said before, you know, remember I said, I think a couple episodes ago that I think Ricardo is done. Right. Yeah. Whatever happened to him, he lost something. And that's, you know, he's a good guy. Everybody likes him. Always, you know, seems to be a jovial person, but it seems something is just not there with what he, you know, with his driving style. Right. It's something impacted his driving style where it's not what he's used to. So I don't know. I think he's there because he's a cool guy. He gets along with everybody. Everybody likes him. But I think he, you know, he's one that's days are numbered also, I think.
You know. It depends on how many, you know, nowadays, if you're an actor, let's not talk about acting. Let's talk about comedians. Nowadays, a comedian, if they wanted to have a one night special on Netflix, it's really based on how many people are following them. If you have 20 million followers, right, they're going to pay you the $20 or $30 million because it's they know that those followers are going to watch you either on Netflix. It's just
right.
The money is there, right? Right. So I'm wondering if when it comes to Ricardo, if it's the same thing, because I heard he's very popular. He's very popular, and having him on a team is beneficial to both parties, himself and that team, because of his popularity.
Well, it's a possibility. Right? That's a very big possibility, right? Yeah. So, you know, as fans, we're not, let me rephrase, right? As fans, we don't realize that Formula One is, at the end of the day, a business.
It's a business.
And it's a generating running revenue generating business. And they, you know, and that's what they die upon, right? How they generate the revenue is through the, you know, the racing and all that stuff, but still, it's still business decisions being made, right? So yeah, you might have a point there that they'll keep him on because he draws people to,
yeah,
you know, the event, right? And so it helps the promoters and it helps, you know, the ticket sales in that case. So because, you know, remember, they always say that in racing, and it's, you know, even in Formula One, that no, not all the time the good drivers make it because they don't have revenue generating machines behind them, right? You're buying a seat, so you have to have money behind you. If you don't have money behind you, you ain't going to do it, right? And so, you know, we have not seen some good people out there because we could not get the revenue for them. So yeah, it is a business. And you might be right that, you know, they might have him languishing around because of, you know, the amount of revenue that he generates for them.
He's very popular from what I understand. So, you know, hate to change sports a little bit, but this is, you know, proving my point. Like Caitlin Clark. Have you guys ever heard of Caitlin Clark?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know what she is.
And could you believe that last week she signed a $20 million Nike deal, mm-hmm, to have her own signature shoe, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah, I can believe that.
Guess who else has that in the WNBA?
No one. Yeah, she's the only
one. No one. And it's based on her popularity. They know that they can pay her $20 million because they're going to make $100 million.
Yep, exactly. You know,
and Asia Wilson is probably the most popular, and everyone's saying that she's kind of the GOAT of the NBA right now. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have a signature shoe.
The WNBA.
WNBA, yeah. She doesn't have a signature shoe, but she's considered the GOAT.
Yeah. Well, you know what I say to this? Hats off to Caitlin Clark. Get it while you can.
Right. you know? Daniel Ricciardo, I think that he's probably going to be in a team next year because of the amount of money he can possibly generate.
I wanted to say it was Jacques. I looked it up. Jacques Villeneuve was critical of Lance Stroll earlier on, and I remember that, like I said, Williams said they were no longer going to have him invite him to their paddock because he just said he's not good enough. He said it all along, you know, and I just looked at an article where he said that. So again, it's not, hey, I couldn't do what Lance is doing. So I'm not saying that. I'm just speaking on what they say.
Yeah, but there's levels to it, right?
Right.
Everything we do, it doesn't matter. Right. You know, if we're tying our shoes or putting on a shirt or driving a Formula One car, there's people, somebody out there who's like exceptional at what they do, and that's what
loves. Right. And I think from a point of view, I think it's more damaging to him probably because his father does own the team, mm-hmm. you know, because then it really puts that spotlight of you're only here because.
Well, Alonso already did that, right? Because remember the race? Alonso was, you know, I forgot what position he was, and he was looking up on the board and say, hey, you know, hey, how's Lance doing? You know, maybe he wants to try this, right? So Alonso already, you know, discredited him already doing that race. So everybody knows that, you know what I'm saying?
To which they said, he's looking at the board while driving the car flat out.
They're trying to change the direction of the comment, and that my opinion, right? But Alonso, being himself, you know, where he puts that knife in and turns it, already turned it, and be done with it, and he's like, it's already a proven thing that everybody knows that he's only there because his dad.
And to say this, hey, other drivers have done it. He might go race sports cars and be very successful.
It was a different beast.
Thing. You know, this is not to say he's not a good driver.
Yeah.
You know, but this.
Castrones did that, didn't he?
Did I say
his name right?
Who?
His name right? Castrones? I can't remember. I can't remember his name. Don't worry about it. We'll keep moving.
F1 driver?
F1 driver that went, or maybe he was an Indy 1 driver that went to like.
Yeah. Are you talking Elio Castroneves?
Castroneves, yes.
He's Indy.
He was Indian and went to NASCAR for a little bit.
Scott Speed did that. Remember Scott Speed?
Yep.
Yeah, when he got let go, he went, he did some NASCAR stuff. He even did some desert truck racing stuff also. Right, so Scott Speed did that. I think
Fernando did Le Mans racing too when he
was there. Yeah, but Fernando did Le Mans racing in an LMP car. So for me, that's not a big there's a gap. Let's say that, right? I don't know, all the details. I'm just a fan. But, at the level of technology is there at a percentage that you find in a Formula One car. Open wheel car is always lighter, and stuff like that. But, it was a hybrid aero-based car that he drove. So there were skills that he could port back into that, and make it work, right? To make it work quicker for him to stem that gap. Go drop into like a GT4 car in a GT4 series, right? Where there's less aero, heavier car.
Right.
Now I'm talking, you want to drop into the Trans Am series where, it's an 800 horsepower car. It's like a street version NASCAR type of car, that type of thing. Then we talking, right?
But it's just instinctual, right? He can go into an F1 car, be very instinctual, doesn't have to think about anything. He's just going to react, right? And if you go into, like you said, IMSA car or a prototype car, he's going to have to think about certain differences between those cars and then react. And that's scary because you're doing 180 miles an hour.
Well, for like the Le Mans cars, I know what they say with the drivers. If you're in one of the LMP cars, that's like an F1 car on that track. Not, like it's a missile.
All the drivers
in the lower categories will say it. They could be on way down from a corner, look in the rear, see an LMP just make the corner, and if they take their eye off the rearview mirror, focus on their race, look back up, it's on their bumper, or like almost on it, like they have to move out their missiles. So for the F1 drivers, it's that, I guess, may have some similarities, but where the difference comes for them is it's not just your car. It's not just set up for you. You're sharing it with three other guys. So you have to adjust yourself to that, and that's where they say some of the, it's a little difficult, not difficult, but they have to learn how to work on that. But as far as driving dynamics, I from what I've heard, there are some similarities to an F1 car because F1, everything is like lightning quick.
And they have to learn to compromise, right? Because you brought up a good point, because it's two drivers. So the better team is when you have similar drivers that have the similar driving styles. So where they like the car set up similarly. And but the challenge is when you have drivers that have completely different driving styles, like, Verstappen and Perez, right? Verstappen likes a loose rear end, Perez doesn't, right? That would make it a, you have to draw a line in the middle of the way to compromise the car setup so that both drivers to be quasi comfortable with
it. Right. So
Perez, but yeah, go to a drift circuit and learn how to drift, and then he'll be all right with the loose back end.
maybe. You know? Yeah.
Well, fellas, yep. It's been a great podcast, great discussion. I think we're still looking for that one race where it just blows our minds out and we can have a great dialogue. Thanks for joining us on this episode. And remember to like, share, and subscribe to the fellas. And don't forget to ring the notification bell to stay up to date with all things the fellas. Have a good evening.
Bye, everyone.
Yep, see you.